Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. An alleged drunk driver called the police to report that someone was driving on the wrong side of the road coming towards him on the highway in Nebraska.
Yep.
Turns out those people were driving the right way.
Like planes, trains, automobiles.
911, where's your emergency?
I'm on Highway 77 going north. And
okay, right there. Just hang up. Yeah,
lights in the way.
Hey, you want another drink?
Okay.
Are you drunk?
And there's somebody that is on the wrong side of the road.
And then what, did you see what color or type of vehicle it was?
No, he had his brights on, man. He almost ran me off the road.
Which lane, which direction is he in? North or south?
I am going northbound on 77. He was going southbound. I am on the east lane. He was on the west lane.
Okay. Could you tell if it was a car, truck, or SUV or anything?
It looked like a truck. That dude, he almost hit me, so I was like, holy shit.
Okay. Can an officer or deputy contact you if they have questions about what you saw?
No, you're good. I was just like, holy
deputies know so they can go try to locate the vehicle.
Yeah, that was gnarly. That was, like, a lot.
Do you know why I stopped you?
Yeah, because I was on the...
All right, so this is now, we're fast-forwarding
right,
from the 911 call to the...
Body cam.
Body cam.
Right.
Yeah, do you know why I stopped you?
Yeah, because I was on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah. Is there a reason for that?
No, but I must have missed an exit.
Missed an exit?
Were you the one that called in?
Yep.
You were?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. There were like four or five people on the wrong side of the road.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Are you going to be in Dumbass News?
Yep.
Yep.
Did you get arrested?
Yep.
Do you feel stupid?
Yep.
Officer Nope is? Somehow I knew he was going to do that.
Yep.
Are we done with this bit?
Yep.
All right. Florida man caught with crack pipe after assaulting a Family Dollar employee with a lollipop.
Ooh, a sucker punch.
I did this especially for Pat, who used to work at one of these stores.
Oh, I thought it was the crack. I'm right. There.
Yeah, no.
It's too early.
Crack store?
No, you've had some wacky things happen in your discount store that you worked in?
Big Lots.
Okay.
Right. Oh, we're saying it all day.
Okay.
I worked at a terrible place called Big Lots, where people on crack would come all the time and pay for lollipops. That was a deal we had on Tuesdays. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
What was it, crack-filled lollipops on Tuesday?
Only on Tuesdays.
Okay.
Yep. Right.
Three legs to get to the center.
Exactly. All right, these are all jokes, people.
Right, that's it. Yeah.
Great people go into Big
they
Lots.
They do. They're the best people of all time.
They do, right? They like lollipops.
So best.
Yes.
Confrontation. happened at a Family Dollar store resulted in the arrest of an armed man. His weapon, a lollipop.
Wow. It was a charm. Look out, he's going to blow pop.
Police say Dalton Reed, 24, was in the line waiting to check out at a convenience store, Clearwater, Florida. And when he got into a verbal argument with the store manager, it escalated. Reed allegedly threw a lollipop at John Drow, striking him in the chest.
Oh, I've been hit.
I'd be so mad.
I've been hit by a dum-dum.
But it sticks to you. Is it a used lollipop?
It depends, right. Is it still wrapped or he didn't lick it? Yeah.
Well, it's just the ultimate disrespect.
Right.
It's just like,
right.
You're garbage, boy. Right. Right.
Well, that was in your mouth and now it's stuck on my shirt.
Yeah,
it's like, okay.
And you have like your shirt's half open, you have chest hairs. Now it's stuck to your chest hairs.
The chest hairs.
Oh, this is going to suck pulling it off.
I'd rather get punched. I really would. I'd rather get punched than get a lollipop to the chest. Yeah.
A used sticky lollipop.
Right.
Luckily, the lollipop lick did not cause bodily harm.
Right. You ever hit, like, your knuckles with a charms pop?
No, because I use my mouth when I'm eating.
Why would you ever do that?
I went to get a piece of my sister's candy. She had a charms lollipop. It was still wrapped. She didn't get a chance to open it yet.
That's the round one, right?
Yeah.
It's like the ball.
No. Charms is a larger, thicker one. Like, you're thinking of Tootsie Pop? Charms.
Yeah, it's longer. It's like a barrel shape almost.
Charms are a little longer, and when you get hit across the knuckles,
what am I looking for? Charms lollipop.
Charms lollipop. Yeah, You get hit across the knuckles with that, man. It hurts.
Ooh, we got a new challenge.
Yep.
Stunner stupid. Whack him. Yeah, lollipop.
Yeah, but to
knuckles.
The head.
Right. Yeah. Of course, always.
Oh, yeah.
Head.
Okay. Right. I got you.
Yeah, no. It's thick. It'll leave a red mark. All because I wanted.
Like the one on your forehead from the walnut.
This is going away. It's going away.
It's still there. Oh, my God.
No, it's going away. I can't keep touching it. Yeah.
You look like the dumbest woodpecker. It was great.
Josh and Shelton.
One of my dad's classic football recipes was called a kibasa chili.
Oh, I'm intrigued already.
Two cans of Bush's baked beans with bacon fat.
Right. Got to have it.
A half a pound to a pound of bacon.
Okay.
And a full link of kibasa. And I add jalapenos already sliced up in the can in there. You're going to brown the bacon first, leave the bacon in the pan. You're going to leave the grease in there, put the bacon to the side, add the kibasa in until it's brown.
Wow.
Then you're going to add a separate pan. You're going to put the bacon fat beans in there. Then you're going to put the bacon in there and the kibasa. You're going to all let it simmer. The best part was that when you're at a tailgate, you can get a little crock pot and let it simmer for a couple hours.
Right. Plus afterwards,
that smell's got to be
this
crazy.
Just made me very excited. Right.
Plus afterwards, I don't care how cold outside, you're going to stay warm. Your chair's going to stay warm.
I want that to be a Yankee candle.
Yes.
Yes.
You get brown the other ways.
Baked beans are always the perfect side, but you add the kibasa and the bacon and that, and it adds it to a full meal.
Nice.
So then you can serve it with rolls and make yourself a sandwich. You can eat it chili style with crackers, or you can eat it as just a side. And it's simple, and it's so good.
I'm in heaven. Just imagining the smell of that as you walk through a parking lot with just that crisp fall air.
Right.
That's a bug light. Yep. You're just going to attract every hungry dude in the parking lot.
Right. Right. But just imagine the smell when you're leaving the game.
I'm just picturing, like, you walking by with, like, your bag sandwich, and then this guy's frying up kielbasa and bacon fat. You're like, oh, I've done something wrong.
Right.
I've made a mistake.
Who has my ham sandwich?
Oh, that is fantastic.
Wow.
We're posting this phone call in our podcast today, so if anyone wants to get this recipe.
I'm not even going to tailgate. I'm just going to make that.
My nipples are hard. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I this like should be on Pornhub.
You'll slice up little pieces of jalapeno, and then what I do is I'll take either stubs or sweet baby rays with like the thick hickory smoke or a spicy barbecue just to kick that flavor, because the baked beans has that flavor already, but it's not strong enough. Oh, man, you can tweak it however you want it. But like I said, crackers, potato rolls, hot dog rolls, eat it plain. It's just an easy, quick fix.
I want to inject into my veins, actually.
On a burger, that would be intense.
Yeah. Make a smoothie out of it, just inject into my brain.
No, like you said, on a roll, it's over.
Yeah,
it's just friggin' over.
Yeah, that's your left hand, and then your right hand's your beer, and you just go back and forth, one and one.
I would just eat until my left arm goes numb.
I can't lift sandwich.
I'm having a heart attack, but I don't care.
Yeah, he did. It looks like you had a stroke, but it looks like you're happy.
It was delicious. This stroke has bacon.
His last words were, oh, my God.
Just one little side of his mouth is curled up with a smile.
And
the rest of his face is drooping.
Come on, give me some more, please.
Josh, that's an awesome recipe. Thank you. No better way to kick off football season than having a 3-time Super Bowl champion and NFL broadcasting veteran on the show, Mark Schellerth. Good morning.
Hey, that's easy for you to say.
Is it close, Schellerth?
Schlereth, but Stink. Just call me Stink. It works better that way.
I've seen how big you are.
Yeah.
I'm not calling you Stink.
It depends. Can you reach for the phone right now and choke us out?
Big people can call you Stink. I'm going to call you Mark.
Right. I'm just going to be Sir.
Okay.
Sir works.
Well, but that's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine with me.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a fun ride. You know, the only thing I ever wanted to be since the time I was 12 years old was an NFL football player. And, you know, now I get to talk about the game that I absolutely love. And it's been a wild ride, man. It's been exciting.
All right, so we're going to start watching football. Let's start at home. If you're sitting on the couch, what do you recommend?
Yeah, well, I've got three things for you today, guys. The LG OLED C3 TV. It's the go-to TVs, bright colors, crisp pictures. OLED, LG OLED celebrated as the best TV by experts worldwide. And whether you're watching football or you're watching movies or you're gaming, whatever the case may be, it's always better on an LG OLED C3, 42 inches to 83 inches. Absolutely gorgeous TV. I have one right behind me. Beautiful pictures. You can check that out at LG.com. And then Butterballs Turkey, Hearty Turkey Sauce.
Hold on. Is this a commercial?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got a commercial and football talk. How about that?
Nice. Okay.
So that's how we do it. Hey, listen.
Now I'm going to call you Stink.
You like turkey, right? You like turkey and you like sausage. Perfect for game day. Who doesn't? Pre-cooked, on the grill, 10 minutes, robust flavor. Served on a toasty bun, sautéed veggies, whatever the case may be. Delicious. Butterball.com for more information. It's all about getting ready to watch football. That's what it's all about. And then dessert, anyone? How about Carvel ice cream cake?
Oh, my God. I feel so screwed right now.
You like Carvel?
I like Carvel.
Others at football, like, fuck you the whale.
You could get away with this because you're big.
I like Carvel. I like turkey sausage.
You like Carvel ice cream cake?
But if you were a normal size, I'd knock you around right now.
would you now?
Well, like I said, if you were normal size.
Right.
I don't know that you would. If I was normal size, I'm still tougher than you.
Okay. All right,
yeah,
Stink.
I mean, you got to give into that.
I like turkey sausage.
All right. Well, enjoy your turkey.
I like turkey.
Yeah.
All right. What the hell was that? Jesus.
I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, because...
Well, he had three things he was advertising, not one.
Right.
Three.
So, yeah.
Go buy this TV,
buy
this turkey, and
Carvel.
Come on.
Wash it down.
And I used to listen to him on a morning radio show where he was fun and could talk, and I don't know why he did
that. Nah, he's great.
I know.
Great voice. Now I'm hungry for some turkey sausage on a crispy bun.
What kind?
Why, Butterball, of
Let's
course.
Let's go to Butterball.com.
Butterball. Yeah.
Jesus. Afterwards, use your Cottonelle toilet paper.
And I
is he calling back?
I thoroughly enjoyed Carvel ice cream cake too.
But does he not get paid?
Are we gonna? Am I gonna have a fight with a former Super Bowl winner?
I'll fight him for you.
I'll be over here.
I got no problem with it.
Awkward. What's up?
He's calling back to talk football. He said,
"Oh, to talk football." Okay.
All right. I don't know why AJ hung up on you.
Well, don't not do that.
I would never hang up on
Everybody
you.
Everybody knows Pat did it.
I'm not allowed near phones.
Pat has long arms.
Listen, I understand you guys weren't aware that we were doing a little promotion stuff and talking football. So, hey, that's okay. I get it. I totally understand it. So if you want to talk football... We get not that you guys. I don't know that you guys know anything about football.
Some of us do.
Not to your level.
You know,
no.
You guys can ask me a bunch of generic questions, and I can answer them. Go, shoot some generic questions at me. Let's go.
How do you like the Cowboys this year?
Listen, man, the Cowboys are the Cowboys are a talented football team. Cowboys are going to win a lot of games, and then they're going to crap in their helmets come playoff time. That's what the Cowboys do.
I know. That has been my life for like 20 years.
I can actually picture that, too.
Right. They just sit there, take a big dump in their helmets, and call it a year. Then they'll be watching. You know, once the divisional playoff round starts, they'll be watching it right with us on the couch.
You're right.
So why is that?
Football. Can I ask you, why is that?
Yeah.
Is there a curse?
Listen. Here's the deal. You're a Cowboys fan, right?
Yes.
So, my thing with Jerry Jones, I think from an ownership standpoint, from an organizational structure standpoint, you've got to have the structure correct. And when Jerry Jones, and this is case in point this year, when Jerry Jones goes, I mean, he's the president, grand poobah of all things football. When Jerry Jones decides all of a sudden to say, hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and make a trade for Trey Lance that honestly, you know, the guy was injured. The guy hasn't performed in San Francisco on a very limited sample size. But I'm going to make a trade for him, and I'm not going to talk to the head coach. I'm not going to talk to anybody. He's just going to show up in our locker room the next
day.
And you've already made your team. Like, the bottom line is what you've done is you've emasculated your head coach. he has no authority. And then when going gets tough, which it always does at some point in the season, and he starts, you know, chewing ass, you know what? Nobody really listens. Everybody's like, well, he's not really in charge.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a bad visual just now.
I played for Mike Shanahan. I played for Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
If Pat Bowlen, our owner, basically traded for a guy without Mike would have just quit.
Right.
On the spot. Like, there is no way that happens in our organizations. And so it is just a faulty, it's a faulty run organization from that standpoint. And you basically, like I said, you circumvent the authority of your head coach, and therefore guys don't respect him. And it's an issue.
All right, Jets, Giants, Pats.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers, what do you think? Do they have a chance?
Big boo-boo?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was DJ Reed the other day. So they came out and said, hey, man, we could be the best defense in football. And listen, they were, I think, the fourth-ranked defense in football last year. And that's without quarterback play. Aaron Rodgers is a phenomenal, I mean, just a phenomenal player. And, you know, and a great leader and a guy that the guys love playing for, playing with. Yeah, I think the Jets have a great chance to be very good. A big fan of Robert Saleh. He's become a friend of mine over the years from his days as a coordinator in San Francisco. They're going to play hard. They're going to play great. And, you know, a lot of young guys on the offensive side of the ball, but I think they're going to be really – I think they're going to be really great.
And it helps that the Pats aren't, right?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does, although it feels like now they've got an offensive coordinator, because I thought Mac Jones as a rookie played really well. And the thing, you know, that whether it was Belichick or Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator at the time, one of the things that they both told me was, hey, listen, there is nothing he can't handle line of scrimmage. The guy's super smart, insatiable appetite for football. Like, he loves that stuff. And so they're like, anything that we do on the line of scrimmage, man, he can change it. He can get us into the right play. And then last year, all of a sudden, you know, the genius that is Bill Belichick decides, you know what, we don't need an offensive coordinator. We don't need anybody to continue to groom this guy in his second year. What we'll do is we'll get an ex-special teams coach and an ex-defensive coordinator that was a head coach. Both of them got fired as head coaches, obviously. You know, one for the Giants, one for Detroit. But that's what we're going to do as our offensive coordinator. We're going to get defensive and special teams guys. It was a colossal. Everybody saw it coming except the Patriots. And, you know, Mac Jones regressed. I think he'll be back on track with Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator.
And real quick, the Giants?
You know, I love the way they played last year. You know, in the breakout season, Daniel Jones had, what, 15 touchdown passes, 7 rushes. You know, so it's not like he had this extraordinary year, but the way they used Saquon Barkley, the way they ran with their quarterback, Daniel Jones, and I tell you what, Darren Waller makes a huge difference for them. That guy is one of the top-tier tight ends in the league, can do everything from blocking people, running routes, big dude, can catch the ball. I like the Bellinger kid as well that plays tight end for them. I think just the NFC East in general is just that's a tough division. And I think Washington's improved. I don't know about their quarterback. Obviously, he's a second-year guy, but, you know, Philly's really good. Dallas is exceptionally talented, and I think the Giants are pretty damn good.
Well, Mark, thanks for calling back and doing this for us. And I apologize for AJ hanging up on you.
No, actually, Ruth did. He can't hit a girl.
Honored to have a 3-time Super Bowl champion and veteran broadcaster on the show. Mark Schlereth.
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 Yeah, it's close, enough. Okay. You guys go on about your day and have a good day.
You too. All right, let's talk about this guy over here. Yeah. I've known him for many, many years.
Many.
You probably know him if you're a Connecticut person.
Yeah.
It's Batso. Good morning, Batso.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yep, still alive.
That's good.
You're still alive. And you look great,
yeah,
by
true.
The way.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what I do.
What do you do?
I work out every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Every day.
So you're 89 right now, and you work out every day.
I'm 90 now.
Now you're 90.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was working out downstairs. I deadlifted 150 to 200 to keep myself. And I used, on a row machine, I rowed for 40 minutes. I used the row machine for weights. I tighten up the chain. I get here. I go like this, and I get my traps and everything.
Nice.
For 40 minutes, and I pull 1,300 times without stopping.
Nice.
1,300.
Wow.
Yeah, I count. See, I use my mind. My mind is strong.
Yeah, well, we're out on that.
Yeah.
Well, see, people don't do that. They're too busy. They don't have. They sit on their butt drinking coffee and all this. I can't do that.
No.
I'm going to die with a weight in my hand. That's where I'm going to go. That's why I would work out.
Yeah. And, I don't know if I want a weight in my hand when I die.
No, I kind of like his method.
Well, I'm not a big fan of working out. I work out. But yeah. Like, I'd rather have a beer in my hand or some lasagna.
No, right. See, I don't drink beer. I have a shot of JD.
There you go.
Okay. Jack Daniels.
How often?
Once in a while. See, everything I do, I time is moderation.
Nice.
What I do.
Oh, you're one of them.
My secret. My secret. You can't do it.
No, I can't do it.
Get me disciplined.
No, I'm not moderation.
No, see, I'm used to working alone. I don't go to gym no more. I can't stand it. People with the cell phones. I don't have no cell phones. I don't do none of that stuff.
Right, you're not doing gym selfies.
I keep my mind busy.
Can I tell you, if anyone's going to do a gym selfie, you should do a gym selfie.
Yeah.
Like, he's covered in tats.
Yeah. Right.
You're 90. You don't look anywhere near 90.
No.
Well, you ever heard of reversing the age?
Reversing the age,
go back. I went back.
Okay, like, so tell us how.
When I was a kid, I had no life. I didn't even know people died. I was screwed up.
Yeah.
I got thrown out of school. I worked in a circus 11 years ago.
Where are you from originally?
Circus.
Bridgeport.
Pittsburgh, okay.
I worked in
Pittsburgh or Bridgeport?
Bridgeport.
Bridgeport.
Oh. Stratford. I mean, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But I worked in the circus 11 years old, taking care of lions and tigers for two weeks. Cool.
Which circus?
Oh, my.
The Barn & Bailey.
Nice. Okay.
That's way back.
Right from Bridgeport.
And then they put me away in a farm, 2 years hard labor picking tobacco.
What does that mean? You went to jail?
Well,
the farm, yeah.
What happened?
And then they become, I was fighting with everybody. I was beating up people.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I was only young. I didn't know any better. I didn't know what the hell it came from.
But you're dealing with the animals at the circus, then you're beating people up?
I worked out with animals. I love animals. When I was on the show called Rescue Inc., I love animals. I almost killed one guy. They grabbed me because the way he did with his dog.
Have you ever murdered anyone?
You can't say that.
You can't talk about it.
I can't. I did a lot of bad things. But
Right.
Huh.
More than
exactly right.
More than one person, not intentionally, but like they just you were with them and then they ended up dead.
Well, some of the boys took the knife away from me. I was going to cut the guy's throat.
There you go. See,
wow,
right?
No, but I don't like what he did to the dog.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm with you.
I love. I cry for my dog Inca. He died 2 years ago.
I'm sorry, man.
He's my first rescue from the show Rescue Inc. And I cry every day. My son, I lost my son to 14 years ago. He had Lou Gehrig's disease.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
He was a professional martial art. I got the ashes and everything. I pray. Then every day I go to church, me and my dog. Nobody's in there. I don't want to be with people.
Yeah.
I sit and talk with Jesus for an hour. Every day.
It's kind of like meditating.
I meditate and I talk and I can feel.
That's beautiful.
Everything. Even when I walk down the street, I don't want nobody behind me because I can feel danger. I can see danger.
Yeah.
Believe me.
What do you feel in this room right now? Are you feeling good vibes, bad vibes? What do you feel?
The way I'm talking to you people, you probably think it's a joke.
No.
Me, I tell it like it is.
Yeah.
If I don't like you, I don't like you. I don't talk behind your back.
Right.
That's the way I am.
Well, I'm the same way.
I like to help people. I help a lot of people out. And they go, everybody knows who I am from my cars. I got a Batmobile.
We're talking to Batso right now. He's from Connecticut. He's 90 years old. And he's going to this weekend to celebrate his 90th birthday. Pull an airplane down a runway. With his neck.
What?
My 80th birthday, I pulled my car 30 feet. Now my 90, I pull a plane. Now if I make it in my 100, I'm going to see if I can pull a train.
Whoa!
Now, are you still having sex at 90?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I just look at it. That makes me feel good.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. You just look at it.
Exactly.
Right. I don't care what people say. You know, sex don't mean nothing. It's just how you get along with life with people.
Yeah.
You can enjoy each other.
I don't know if I'll ever get to that point in my life.
Yeah.
It comes in between, you know? But you want to enjoy each other. Like my wife, when I met her.
She's awesome.
Yeah, but when I met her in a bank. She just turned 19. I was 47.
Wow.
Okay.
Good deposit.
And I told her we went, and then, we're married 43 years ago.
43. Wow.
And I never looked at another woman. I don't like women touching me.
Right.
Nobody coming near me.
Yeah. Because a woman, you're devoted.
When they drink, they get nasty. I said, stay away.
Yeah.
I said, don't touch me. Even her husband said, I said, you touch me, then I'll touch you.
Oh, oh boy. Oh. To a woman.
And not in a good way.
Would you punch a woman if a woman punched you in the face?
A woman punched me in the face?
Yeah.
I'll choke her.
There you go. See? Different approach.
Different answer.
She
different
hit approach. Me?
I you notice how Ruth is stepping back right now? Ruth, just don't punch Bethel. That's you're, all. You're fine.
You're okay.
Do you know,
I come back.
Do you know I can hurt a person with my hands? I did martial arts. I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I play drums. I got my Deadhead Boys home. They're all skeletons. They play music.
Nice. What an interesting life. Is there a book on you?
Well,
there should be.
I'm doing something.
Nice.
Okay, good.
Nice. There should be.
You know, I got this guy supposed to be doing something to me, but right. I don't care. You know, I just enjoy myself. I take care of my wife, me, and my dog. I come home.
How do you, are you on Social Security or like, how do you make money?
I don't want to tell you.
Okay.
Oh, that's
for Batso to know and us not to know.
You get better every minute.
I love this man.
He takes care of things.
That's on the dark side. You ever been to the dark side?
Probably.
No, you don't know what the dark side is.
I haven't been to the dark side, or do I know?
I've been there.
It's been to the dark side.
Yeah,
I think you own it.
I gotta tell you.
Well, if it wasn't for my
the dark side was a nightclub, you'd have that special entrance.
Yes.
If it wasn't for my wife, I would have been dead.
Well, that's cool.
I was screwed up with bad people.
Yeah.
I was on crystal meth, drugs.
Ooh. Batso is on right now. Where are you going to pull this airplane down the runway? That's this weekend, right?
Yeah, right at the, in Stratford, right next to the windsock. I forgot.
Okay, yeah.
The airport next to there.
Yeah.
But I went down it. It's pretty hard.
Yeah.
You see, pulling the car and pulling the plane, you know the difference? The plane has got one wheel in the front and it's got two in the back.
Right.
It's like out of balance.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You got to have balance. You got to have form and everything. That's the first thing I do. I make sure I got my balance.
Right.
Steven Stratford.
I'm going to come up. I pulled it 10 feet.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah.
I went home. I still feel like I got chain all wrapped around my body.
Yeah.
You see my traps, everything?
Yeah.
It's okay. All feel like it's hard like a rock.
Can you take your shirt off for the video?
Yeah.
And show your traps? Can you take your shirt off for the video?
Oh, more tats.
Oh, look at all these cool tats.
Wow. Yeah.
There's a lot of beautiful artwork on this man's body.
Yeah.
Batso.
It's like me if I was attacked by a dude.
Nice. See how my neck is?
Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The chest thing.
Yep.
There's a girl on his chest jumping around right now.
Punch
do you have any tattoos on your wiener?
No, don't punch
Go like this. It's like.
Don't you do it, Ruth.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You get choked out.
It's okay, Ruth. It's okay.
You know, Patso, you did say if a woman touches you, you strangle her.
I'll hold the phone.
Punch in the back. Punch me.
All right, go ahead, Ruth.
In the back, right here. Punch like that.
It's funny that just 2 minutes ago, we said if a woman punched him, he would strangle her. And now we have Ruth punching him.
No, he said choke her out. Big difference.
Oh, choke her out.
Big difference, yeah.
We have any walnuts left over?
No.
In the middle of the back.
You know,
in the middle
of the
back.
Right
here.
Right here.
I don't like this.
I don't like any of this.
Okay.
I'll punch on you.
Go ahead, you'll punch. Too.
Yeah.
Nah.
No, I'll be nice. I just meant.
You know what? That's from doing.
I think Ruth's not going to give the hit he wants.
I was with Jay Pickerel. Right.
Yeah, Jay Pickerel. I got to go. We got to have you back.
Yeah.
Do we have any time on the show Monday? I want to hear all about this. First of all, I need more time with this guy. He's too interesting.
Yes.
And second, dude, you're like
best.
I've known you for a long time, but this is the most fun I've had talking to you.
I can tell you a lot of things when I did, but I can't. It's hard.
This is the first layer of the onion.
Yeah, no, I totally know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to link up to your poll on the radio station website so people can go and watch.
Yes.
And congratulations on all your success. We're going to have you back like Monday or Tuesday, or we're going to have you back next week.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk to you about the poll. And
anything else
in the rest of your life.
Yeah.
If I don't make it, I'll see you in the other world.
Well, I think you'll make it.
I think you'll make it.
Yeah, dude.
You're definitely gonna make
it. Nothing stops you.
Yeah.
Well, see,
it's just a plane.
See, I work out by myself. I don't want to be around people.
Yeah.
I meditate, and I can feel people behind me. And I walk over here. I tell a guy walk in front of me. I don't know nobody behind me.
Yeah.
You know they're gonna hit you in the head or something like that.
Right, no, I got you. No,
then
you live. You've had a different life than the rest of us.
By his own rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Batso, I got a roll. Thank you so much for coming on. It's always an honor to have you, and we'll see you next week. Well, this is a treat to talk to this guy, Craig Ferguson, super comedian. Good morning, sir.
Good Good morning. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
You know, I'd complain, but I don't think anybody really cares. I think what I'd have to say is that I'm vulnerable but still masculine. There you are. That's how I am. That's an update on how I'm doing.
If you were going to complain, what would you complain about?
That should be a T-shirt.
I don't know. The temperature in New York City, maybe a little bit. I've been here for the last couple of days. What is it like in Connecticut? Is it breezy?
It's the same thing. We're having a – this is the hottest day of the week today.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's a little sweaty. But, you know, I've reached a point in my life where I guess it's probably better for me to be in warm temperatures.
Right. You know, it's funny. I wonder if, like, in the 30s and stuff before air conditioning was invented,
right,
if people complained about the heat. Because those old movies, you watch the old movies.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a fan running.
Right.
And they're all sweating, and they're, like, in a, you know, high rise.
Yeah.
And no one says, man, it's hot.
Right. No one says that. Well, they can't say. The word wasn't invented yet.
It's like everybody had a handkerchief, though. They're always dabbing the forehead.
Right.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah, you see that all the time.
It almost looks sexy and appealing.
Right.
But it's miserable, and no one acknowledges
and
it.
Price Millie.
Yeah. We stopped talking so you could talk. There's a lot of us here. Sorry,
I was wondering if you were going to. I didn't want to interrupt that. conversation about movie temperatures and movies in the 1930s, which I, you know, when I think about it now, I feel such a fool for not bringing it up.
I think that's a compliment. Craig is coming to Foxwoods tomorrow.
Excellent.
So, good. That's exciting.
It really is it? I mean, I don't know. I'm not getting an exciting vibe from you here. I think it might be hot. Are you guys just running a fan there? You know, have air conditioning?
Actually, there is a fan.
There is a fan in the room.
But I'm not wiping my brow.
I'll just leave that alone.
Did you say that you thought it was kind of sexy that people were wiping their brows, though? Did you kind of like that?
Well, some were sexy.
Well, a sexy starlet in the 30s.
Right.
Yeah.
Glistening in moisture.
Just so.
From the heat of the room.
Edward G. Robinson, no.
There is an appeal to that.
Edward G. Robinson, no.
I don't know, man.
It's what, see?
Where's your sweat now, see?
I smell, see?
What I love, you guys are clearly chasing the younger demographic with the Edward G. Robinson impression.
I was just putting it there, yeah.
Do you miss doing late night television? I have to tell you, I miss having you on there.
Yeah, can you go back?
Well, thank you. No, I don't miss it. I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad I did it for as long as I did. And I was happy to get in it and happy to get out of it. You know, it was... it was a nice time. I'm proud of the work that we did there. I'm proud of the fun we had, but I was really ready to go by the end of it, you know, because you know, I was a kid.
It's a grind, right? Like, people don't know.
I mean, it's an hour every day. I mean, I don't want to complain about it. I'm not complaining about it. I loved it, but I was done. It was time to stop.
So run us through that. That was when Letterman started on CBS doing his late show, and then his production company hired you to come in on after him?
Well, they hired a couple of guys first. They had Tom Snyder in there first. Tom used to do a straight-up one-on-one interview show with no audience. He did that for about 5 years. And then a gentleman by the name of Craig Kilborn did the show for about 5 years. And then they slotted me in, and I did 10. And then Jimmy Corden did the last 8. So that's the entire history of the show.
Wow.
I think now they're putting a game show in or something, right? Or I don't
is that right?
A panel show. They're not. Yeah, something like that. I don't think they're putting in another late night show. They're pretty. You know, they're pretty expensive shows, I think, to make. I don't know. I never got to see the budget because I may have asked for more money. But I think they're pretty expensive to throw these things out. And as television changes and. You know, broadcast television is different now. The numbers are very different. Everything's on the tickety-talk and the, Instagram and stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Watching your show, it was a treat to see some of these celebrities in an interview situation. And now that they're all doing podcasts, it's not like a treat to see them on television talking to someone.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the accessibility to people and media is very informal now. I mean, if you want to see, you know, any actor you want, Google them, and they'll be, you know, talking to you from their farm or their, you know, their helipad or something.
Yeah.
And they're just like the rest of us in our farms and helipads.
Craig Ferguson is on. He's doing a show at Foxwoods tomorrow. I have to tell you, when they announced that you were hosting that show, I was like, the guy from Drew Carey?
Mr. Wick?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm like, he's a great actor, but really?
Right.
An interview show. And the first episode I saw, I was blown away.
I get it. Yes.
I totally got it.
Yep.
Well,
wow. Really good.
I'll tell you, you were not alone. There were a few raised eyebrows when I was given the job. But not least of all mine, I was as surprised to get it as everyone else. But it was really down a guy called Peter LaSalle, who had been Johnny Carson's producer for, 35 years he had done Johnny. And then he'd worked with Dave. And he was kind of like the genius of late night, the behind-the-scenes guy. And he said, no, this is the guy, I'm telling you. And I guess he was right. I didn't even think I was the guy. But he said, nope, this is the guy.
Now, you didn't have a real audience, right? It sounded like just the crew was chuckling.
How dare you? How dare you? I had a real audience.
Right. Hey, Jay, why would you say that? I almost got my ass kicked by an NFL player right. earlier today. So
it's ass kicking Thursday.
it's my day.
I'll admit it was a small audience, but they were there. Yeah. And some nights, you know, maybe they weren't as enthusiastic as other nights. Now, we had a small audience. It picked up over time, but it wasn't one of the big shows. We just had a kind of, it was low-budget stuff, man. We were kind of, I remember once Lily Tomlin was on, and she said, wow, when I worked here, this was a wardrobe.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you for coming to Connecticut.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
We're linked up to the radio station website. Craig Ferguson, actor, comedian, writer, television host, and all-around good guy.
Yep.
Coming to Foxwoods tomorrow night. Thank you, Craig.
Thanks, guys. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh,
thank you,
always.
Sir.
So, how do you think that went?
I think it went good.
I think it went good.
Went good, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's two for two now.
I know this one will go well.
I'm knocking wood.
By the way, this guy here is my very first celebrity interview on this radio station.
Oh, wow.
It was like 1989, 90.
Wow.
John Cafferty, Beaver Brown Band. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm happy to be here for Ass Kicking Thursday.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
We'll try to tick you off.
Man, not you guys. We're too good of friends.
This is true.
So lots to talk about. When you're playing the Norwalk Oyster Festival this weekend.
Yeah, actually I'm packing up my socks and underwear as we speak, and we're heading down to Annapolis. Today, we're playing there tomorrow, then we go to Washington, D.C., and then we're catching a flight back to Providence on Sunday, coming down and playing at 5 o'clock at the Norwalk Oyster Festival.
Wow.
So,
a busy
lot
week.
Of fun.
Yep.
It's been a few years since we've been there, but it's great. You know, Mike Riley and all the people down there, they do a great job, and it's just such a great community event. You know, everybody comes out. So looking forward to it.
Can we bring you anything? Like you need some food or something backstage?
Maybe a little hot sauce would be good, you know, for maybe a little horseradish for the oysters.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
Well, you know, I'm going to... A lot of traveling this weekend. I'm going to need a little something to, you know,
protein.
wake up my senses. Yeah, you know, kind of get the throat going.
Yeah, of course.
Who was it that asked us for oysters at the Milford Oyster Festival?
That was Southside Johnny.
Southside Johnny, and we never got them.
Yep.
So don't count on him. One. And then two, he was on stage saying, "Where's my oysters?"
Right.
Oh, like, man.
I was like, "You hear something?"
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to get on Southside's dark side, you know?
No, we made amends.
You don't want to do that.
We made amends.
Oh, good, good. Good, I love him. We still do a lot of shows together.
John Cafferty's on the show, and we know you're good friends with Bruce, and it was just announced yesterday that Bruce is putting off his September shows. Have you had any contact with him recently?
Just when he played up in Boston, you know, early on in the tour before they went over to Europe, went up and said hello, you know. So it was a pretty ambitious tour. I mean, those guys, you know, they played every other day. I mean, that's unbelievable. That's hard to do when you're 23,
yeah,
you know, never mind 73.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. And it was like, you know, that show that he did in Boston, he played up at the Garden. And, I mean, it was just nonstop, you know, just, you know, no big speeches, no nothing. I mean, he just, you know, song to song to song to song. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Did a great job. Nice.
Mike at Toast Place was smart enough, knowing that you were good friends with Bruce. When Bruce played the New Haven Coliseum, he would book you at Toast Place, knowing that Bruce would probably show up and get up on stage and do some songs with you. And he's done that before.
Yeah. But back in the day, yeah, we played a lot together, you know, especially when we were down the Jersey Shore. But he did come over to Toad's Place because, you know, Mike, God rest his soul, you know, if there was somebody playing over at the hockey rink, you know, he knew we'd be over there at soundcheck, you know, trying to get the guys to come over, which we did. So I think within a couple of weeks' time, we had Bruce came over and Bob Seger came over and get up on stage with us at Toad's.
Wow.
But and that was before, you know, all the big acts started showing up there. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, those are just moments that are just magical for everybody involved.
True.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, AJ, I saw your buddy Sylvester Stallone last summer.
How you doing?
Really?
Where did you see him?
We were driving up to a gig in Boston last summer, and my phone rings, and I look at the caller ID that says Sylvester Stallone.
Wow.
And I said, this can't be real.
Right.
So I answered the phone. I put him on a speakerphone. It's like, hey, Johnny, how you doing? Right. It's really him.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's, you know, Rocky's on my phone.
Right.
So I said, man, what a thrill, you know. I said, what can I do for you? He goes, I need a favor. My brother's playing down in Atlantic City. I see you're going to be playing down the Jersey Shore. You know, I want you to come over to Atlantic City and open the show for us at the Hard Rock.
Wow.
I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we went down and hung out with the Stallone brothers for a couple of days. It was unreal. We went out to dinner. I mean, he came walking into the restaurant. You know, here comes Sylvester Stallone in Atlantic City. I mean, it's like down the street from Philly. So he walks in and the whole crowd just like standing ovation as soon as he walked in the door, spontaneous.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
It was great. But we had a lot of fun with those guys.
So you had to play Hearts on Fire.
I hope.
We did.
Nice.
We did play Hearts on Fire. Yeah, you know, it was a great show, and Frankie's really good too, and you know, it was a lot of fun catching up with those boys.
Wow. You have a new song out now, then I'll let you go, but I just wanted to ask you about this Blue Moonlight Drive single that you can get on anywhere you can get music. It's an awesome song.
That's a good one.
John texted it to me, and I texted him back. It's as good, if not better, than anything he's ever done before. I mean, you really sound great.
I didn't get texted anything.
Is the song sounds like someone pining over someone they lost in marriage or in life?
Well, the mark of a good song is it will mean different things to different people, you know. So, you know, we're not you guys, because you guys are still young pups, but me, I'm at an age where, you know, it's like where we say goodbye to a lot of friends, and so there's that element in there. But it's also could be as simple as just like a breakup song, that like a teenager would listen to. But it's however it hits you. You know, but it's kind of like got that Beach Boys, Pet Sounds, Caroline No sort of, instrumentation to it. And it's very reminiscent of all the things that we grew up with. But thank you so much for saying we're working on a new album. Should be out, sometime in the next month and a half. And I'm proud to say that, the songs that we've released so far, we put out 3 singles. First one, Day in the Sun, which was a summer song. Second one, Message to You, which is a tribute to Gary U.S. Bonds and Darlene Love. And now this one, End of Summer Song, which is Blue Moonlight Drive. And been getting great, great response.
They're awesome.
But yeah, thank you really, so much for your kind words.
It's great, to after all these years, to have be putting out your best stuff.
Yeah.
So. All right, we'll see you Sunday at the Oyster Fest, and keep in touch, brother. Great hearing you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut, on the mighty 99.1 PLR.